Prayer Faith, this 32nd Prayer Faith Anniversary Sunday. How fantastic is that? Now, I was in Kingfisher sometime earlier in the year celebrating the church's 100-year anniversary. We're not there yet, but man, we're on our way. Those of you that have been married 30 years or more, you know we're getting there, right? So we're on our way. So it's a great day. Man, Elizabeth started this earlier today. This is a day which the Lord has made. We will. And she got us all giving some response back. Man, we will rejoice and be glad in it today for sure. If you would turn in your Bibles to James chapter 3. And we're going to be talking about mostly that verse. And then a couple other verses that tie together with that. And we'll have our anniversary celebration. If you're visiting with us or new to Prayer Faith, as soon as we're done with service, we'll pray over our food, over our workers, and then this sanctuary becomes our new dining hall. We'll move tables in here, we'll move some chairs, and we'll have a great time of just eating together, fellowshipping, and talking with one another. So it'll be a great time today. Always a good time to celebrate when we're here another day, another year, all those different things. So praise God for that. So I thought about, well, what makes Prayer of Faith? We're here 32 years. What makes us strong? What keeps us strong? And I tried to think, actually several months ago, sat down and thought, what makes us strong? What makes us press on? What makes us still here? And then I thought, what makes us strong to do what? Why do we need to be strong? What makes us strong for what purpose? And I thought, for these purposes, to get lost people found, to get hurting people healthy, to move found and healthy people into community with other believers. That's our purpose statement. So that's why it's important to know what keeps us strong, what presses us on, what sustains us day in and day out. And how do we do that? Well, we model Christ's love. We faithfully communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we help each Prayer of Faith member discover and utilize their spiritual gifts. What is that? Well, that's our mission statement. Probably should spend some more time focusing on that. Not today, but in general. But that's our purpose statement. And that's our mission statement. And when Pastor Jack, the founder of this church, retired a little over 5 years ago, Eric and I sat down and we looked at that and said, is there anything that needs to be tweaked or changed here? Well, you know what the answer was? No. No, you see, that's still just as valid today as it was when they were created. And God's Word directly talks to these different areas of our purpose statement and mission statement. But I thought again, what makes us strong and what keeps us strong? And that's the stuff inside us, and that's character. Our character is what makes us strong. And maintaining that character, just like a car, we have to do maintenance and make sure we do that. Pick up our cross daily. That's some regular maintenance. We have to crucify the flesh. And I thought these are things that maintain our character and help us stay strong to continue to help lost people get found and hurting people healthy. And then move those people into community with other believers. And we hope it's here, but it may not be here. But if we can help them along the way, we're serving God's purpose as a church body. And I thought, how we handle ourselves outside of the church building really is probably more important to the state of our character than how we handle ourselves inside the church building. Because we can wear our Sunday best and do all those things and fancy ourselves up. But how we act outside of these four walls is a bigger indicator to me of what our character really is. How do we talk to one another? How do we treat one another? And we all have struggles. But I think one of our greatest tests and indicators of our character is really what we say. What we say and how we say it to one another. And that's a great indicator. I've talked before that an indicator of our spiritual life is how we drive on the freeway, how we drive up and down the roads. How quickly do we lose our patience? That talks to the fruit of the Spirit. How generous are we to letting someone go in front of us, even though we've been sitting there trying to move one car forward for 5 minutes? But can we be generous and let somebody else in there? And all these things speak to our character, and a great test to it, I think. What we say, how we say it, who we say it to. And in James chapter 3, if I can get to the right section in my Bible, James chapter 3, we're going to read verse 1 through 12. And we've covered this at different times before. We've talked about our tongues and what they are, and our mouth, and being kind to one another. But I tell you what, we want to look at it deeper today. Colton, you mentioned a scripture on Youth Sunday. And you talk about who lights the candle and then puts it under a bushel and hides that. Well, what we say is similar to that. How we say it to other people can be the same way. Are we taking what we know here and keeping it secret and keeping it dark from others? Or are we keeping it dark from others by the other things that we say to people? And it says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers. Let's focus on that for just a minute. Let not many of you become teachers. Why? Knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Those of you that are teaching other people will receive a stricter judgment if we're doing that properly and biblically and spiritually. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man. Let's be careful. We say we never stumble. I thought about walking up here today and acting like I was going to trip, but I thought you wouldn't believe me if I told you it was part of the plan, so I threw that out. But we all stumble in many things. Not just we stumble in one area, we stumble in many things. We may have some that are bigger stumbling blocks than others, but we all stumble. Remember, it said, but if we don't stumble in word, we're a perfect man. Able also to bridle the whole body. Not me. I can't bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at the ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. That little rudder will move that entire ship. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how a great forest a little fire kindles. It doesn't take but a spark. We know that from these raging forest fires that we see, started by a little spark. Before I go on, can I just stop and pray for a minute? I thought, man, we've had some things going on in this country, and we've had some attacks on the synagogue recently, and I meant to stop and pray for that. Do you mind if we just stop mid-service and do that? Let's bow our heads. God, I thank you for prompting me to stop where I was, just to pray for your people. God, we pray for the people that were attacked this week. Whatever the reason, be it different views, opinions, ideas, faiths, whatever it is, nationality, Lord, that you would unite us. Your word calls us to all be united and be united under you. But God, you call us to respect other people as well. God, we differ from our friends across the street in some of our beliefs. But they're still our neighbor and they're still our friend. And you call us to love them as we love ourselves. You see, they could look on us with hatred as well. And we could look on them with hatred. But until there's love and unity, that hatred will always exist. So God, we ask you just to remove the boundaries. Remove the uneasiness that we feel when we're uncomfortable with people that are different than us. Help us to love our brothers and sisters. We ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. You know, sometimes it doesn't matter what notes you write here. You just gloss right past them and you're to the end of service and thought, oh, I forgot to mention that. Or I forgot this one key point that I circled three times. And I still blew right past it, so I apologize for the interruption, but it's very important that we do that. See how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world. The tongue is a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the entire body. That little part of the body defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. Unbelievable, isn't it? No man, we can tame animals left and right. Watch, I can stick my head in this lion's mouth. It won't bite my head off. But we can't tame our little bitty tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh water. Now as we look at this, we can just say, yeah, we have to talk nice. Well, no, that's not it. It's not just about talking nice. It is about changing our attitude and our behavior, and it's a character issue. Right there in verse 1, let not many of you become teachers. It doesn't say let not all of you. Meaning, oh, there should be a few that aren't teachers. It says, let not many of you. Teaching, educating people is held to a strict standard. And it is so important that we do that accurately and right. That it is based on this, God's Word. Rather than, well, I heard this common thing that's going out there. And, you know, we really don't have to believe all this. Yeah, we do. That's how we believe here, prayer, faith at least. And as we look at our character, we can say, well, right there it says in verse 2, for we all stumble in many things, Adam. It says I'm going to stumble. Yeah, it does. But it says don't be a stumbling block. We've talked about this many times. Remove the stumbling block. Don't be a stumbling block. And by the way, avoid those stumbling blocks. When we stumble, this is another reason I didn't lay up here on the stage and pretend to trip or fall or whatever. I'd lay here and hopefully at least one of you would rush up here to help me and I wouldn't really need help. But I thought, when you stumble, what do you do? Are you the person that just lays there? Oh, Lord, help me. Waiting for those to gather around and see what poor injuries you have gathered on your body. Or are you one of those that does that and says, ooh, anyone looking? I pray no one saw that. You see, some people pray, I hope 10 people see me laying there and come around and just, oh, no, oh, poor thing, you okay? And others pray, nobody saw them. Oh, good grief. I did that all on my own. I hope nobody saw it. And we try and move about our business quickly. How do we react when we stumble? We do need to get back up, dust ourselves off, and keep moving on, watching out for that same type of tripping hazard later. Okay, notice I said we have to look for that same tripping hazard later. Because more than likely, when you trip on a root and you're walking through the woods, or a root as some of you call it, but a root, whatever you want to call it, a stick growing out of the ground, when you trip on that, you'll probably pay a little more attention to lift your feet a little higher. Why? So you don't catch your foot on that again. Catch yourself mowing, looking down at the ground and catching a branch in the forehead. You'll probably look up a little more often. Same deal. Look around for those stumbling blocks. Verse 4 and 5. Man, it talks about what a small, powerful part the tongue is. Our fingers, our digits are small. Susie, by the way, had surgery. Let's see, left wrist, arm, hand. Did you notice she was up playing piano today? She had more talent in one finger than I had in all 10 fingers last week that I had to do that alone. And I appreciate, number one, you being here. But what talent? And you look at that little hand, you think, okay, well, I've got 5 fingers. But I can't do with those five what she can do with those five. We all know it, and I'm okay with that. Okay? It doesn't make me feel bad to announce that. We know that. But the tongue is the same thing. It's like it's a small part. But man, the power behind that small part. I believe it was Miss Dorothy that used to say, you can't erase the spoken word. Once that's out of your mouth and someone's heard it, you can't erase that. And if you ever fire off or get ready to fire off an email and it's just, you're going to town. I mean, you're pounding those keys. And then you think, and you either delete part of it, or I've deleted entire emails before, said, nope, not sending that. It's the same thing as our tongue wanting to get the best of us. And we have to watch those things because we can't undo that. Why not? It defiles the entire body. And I think of the Pharisees, you know, and they've got all their garb and they're looking so religious. But what did God's word say about those guys? So clean on the outside, but filthy on the inside. And it's the same thing here. That little bitty tongue, it defiles the entire body. It ruins whatever you have going on. I don't care how great you look, how intelligent you are, how healthy you are, how buff you are, whatever it is. When you open your mouth and those things come out that are against God's word, it ruins everything that people see in you. And that's why I say outside of these walls, our character is more important than inside our walls. We can kind of fake each other out a little bit here, maybe. But you see those people outside the walls, they're looking at us going, huh. I saw follow me to church bumper sticker on their car, but they must have bought that car with that bumper sticker already on it. Because I'm just watching them at work or I'm watching them in the grocery store. I've got emails from customers before. La, 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 just ugly, filthy, nasty emails. And at the bottom says, may God be with you today, or something crazy. I'm thinking, well, you could have erased that line before you sent it. Must be in the automatic signature line, right? Because everything up above it had nothing to do with that ending. And then verse 9. Listen to this, verse 9. And I want us to pay close attention. Every age, pay attention to this. With it, we bless our God and Father. And with it, we curse men who have been made in the image of God. Can you imagine walking up to Jesus Christ and cussing him out? But we can do that to others who were also made in his image. God's word in verse 10 says, my brethren, these things ought not to be so. You see, we can't call ourselves believers or followers or Christians and do this, or we can, but we shouldn't. And it goes to our character. You see, if we're going to do that and put that label on ourselves, hi, my name is Christian. Yeah. If we're going to do that and label ourselves, then we better do some things that go along with it. You want to put on a badge that says, I'm the manager? You better act like a manager. I'm the teacher? Man, you better be ready to teach. Anyone ever see School of Rock those first couple days? He had his feet kicked up and said, aren't you going to teach us anything? He said, no, just do whatever you want. I don't care. Well, that's because he put that label on there, but he wasn't really a teacher. So we have to be careful when we put those labels on ourselves. Don't judge me for watching School of Rock. Had a good example in it. Verse 11 and 12. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Well, not if it's correct and set right, it doesn't. Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives? Or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. It just doesn't happen. And he says, man, as a Christian, it just doesn't happen that way. You see, the fruit of the Spirit is this. And so you can't do these things if you have fruit of the Spirit. Last week we ventured into verse 13 through 18 talking about wisdom. And we talked about Solomon when he prayed for wisdom. He didn't pray for riches. He prayed for wisdom, godly wisdom, so that I can judge these things righteously. In verse 13 through 18 in last week, it said there's two types of wisdom that we have. Earthly, or they called it demonic, or heavenly. You see, that wisdom that comes from heaven above, it's different than what you get down here. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 15, if you would, and we'll check this out a little bit and see what it further says. And in John 15, it talks about being the true vine. It says, man, I'm the branch. You got to stay connected to me. It says, I am the vine, the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Listen up, church. If you're not producing fruit, he's going to take something away. When you're in times of want, think about that. Ooh, was I not producing fruit, or did I just put that label on? I'm a Christian. Come on, Lord, bless me. Your word says you'll pour out. In great abundance, you'll pour this stuff out. But remember, he says, yes, but I've got some things that I need you to do also. While I'm busy writing your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, I need you to be doing these things. Praying this way, serving your fellow man in this way, loving in this way. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may what? Bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me. Remember, we talked about abide before. It says, spend time with me. Spend time in communion with me. Have fellowship with me. Have intimacy with me. And Jesus said, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. Just look around. Empty seats. Who's missing? Are they abiding in him? Don't tell me they're abiding in him at home. Don't tell me on Facebook you're abiding in him at home. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Oh, did you catch that? If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. We've talked a lot on Wednesday nights about being his disciples. That means you spend time with him and you study and you learn. We talked last week about my son Austin graduating basic training. He had spent been there almost 11 weeks, and he got through it. Ooh, how great. And the next day, boom, off to Missouri, Fort Leonard Wood. And I talked to him last night and said, well, how's it going? He said, well, we're actually learning a lot of stuff. We had to read the first five chapters and learn this. Then we're going to learn about dump trucks and then graders and boulder on and on. And there's all this time you've got to spend time reading the material. You see, they don't just set you in a seat and say, it's like a video game. Just play all day long. If you wreck, it's okay. Just hit reset. No, there's training you have to do. And it's the same thing here. He says, man, you've got to read the manual. or you're going to get in there and you're going to mishandle this thing. You're going to cause some problems. You're going to cause some damage. You're going to cause some hurt. And you don't get to always hit reset. And your words, by the way, I'm going to tell you how to use those. You use those with a spirit of love and gentleness. And you use those in patience. You don't just use it every time you can. I've always heard two ears, one mouth. Use them in that ratio. Sometimes even a different ratio than that. But it says you've got to abide in me. Now turn back to Matthew chapter 12. And we'll connect the dots here. Now in Matthew chapter 12, verse 33, it says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruits. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? Even Jesus knew this. He's in and amongst them saying, I know your heart. I know your intent. I know your character. But how is it you can speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Oh, man, think about those words we let fly. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. But I like right in the beginning. He says, either make the tree good and its fruit good. We're going to bear the proper fruit and the right fruit. Or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. It's either or, church. It's one or the other. You can't get that bitter water out of the fresh spring. They don't go together. Instead, it's either or. Looking back just a few verses in Matthew 12, also verse 23, it says, a house divided cannot stand. You can't be against each other in your thoughts, in your character. Businessmen, they can come to work and do great business and lead. And I talked about this in our leadership thing a few weeks ago at work. And I said, they can do these great things, but where they do their business in darkness, in deceit, eventually, guess what's going to happen? The light's going to come on and somebody's going to find that work that you did in darkness. And it's the same thing here. We've got to work on character. I was going to drag a branch in here, but decided not to make extra work for Lori cleaning up a crumbled leaf, so I didn't. But you can take that branch. It has a beautiful leaf right now, full of life. But as soon as you pull that leaf off and lay it there, it eventually is going to dry up. Then you step on it and it's going to break into a billion little pieces. And it's the same thing here. When we separate ourselves from the body, we think, oh my God, we look great. Look at this leaf. It's green or it's reddish yellow or whatever it is. It's so beautiful. Little kids will glue those on paper sometimes and say, hey, look. That's great, but in time, it's going to dry up, get brittle. And the first sign of damage, when somebody hits that or steps on it or whatever, it'll crumble. Because it's not connected, and it isn't connected to its life-sustaining source. It's the same way in the body of Christ. When we disconnect and fool ourselves to thinking, I can stay this beautiful leaf for a while. Yes. And for a while you can fool other people that you're not all dried out and brittle. But in time, you'll fall and you will die because you're not connected to that source of power. And this says there's two types of people. Those that act and all others. Those that act and all others. Matthew chapter 12 verse 30 says, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Man, I'm praying for the next 32 years at Prayer of Faith already. I'm thinking, what will sustain Prayer of Faith for 32 years? And it goes back to what we talked about in the very beginning. What makes us strong and keeps us strong? Strong to do what? To do our purpose statement and our mission statement. And if we want to be here another 32 years, it's going to require two things. And that's for its members. We have to maintain character, or we have to achieve or get character or build character. And then once we get character, young people, Prayer of Faith, or Ground Zero, our youth group. We had Youth Sunday. As we gain that character, guess what you have to do? You've got to maintain it. You like the body you have now? Great. Maintain it. It's going to get out of control real quick. Okay? And it's the same thing with our tongues, the words we speak. I look around and I see Ground Zero group from the previous generation, Elizabeth and PJ, Sabrina. Trying to go through, am I missing anyone that's sitting in here now? And I look at those people. We've got, oh, you with child, all right, excellent. You know, that previous generation that grew up in Ground Zero, that are now young men and young women, having families. And to be here, it's going to require our character. And it's going to require us to pick up our cross and carry it daily. And crucify the flesh. Whenever you need to, hourly if you need to, and crucify the flesh. And then it's going to require action. It's going to require action for maintaining what we have. We're going to prepare here in just a moment for a child dedication. What a glorious thing when we dedicate babies and children to God. And as we prepare for that, we're going to have opportunity after that then to pray for one of our members. You can pray for all of our members that need help, but we're going to pray for one in particular. And when we open it up for prayer at that time, it'll be for Tim. Tim Walker. Got a few Tims in here today. Tim Walker. And we're going to have Tim come up here at that time when it's time to do that. And we're going to have the congregation come. And we're going to lay hands on him. And we're going to pray for him. And I'm going to call this church to action to pray for him. And I'm going to call you guys to action in a moment here as we do our child dedication as well. You guys play a part in that as well. And I'm excited about that. And then once we get that done, we're going to have our visitors come up here if we have any. And then after that, then we'll pray for our food and our meal and our fellowship time afterwards. Okay, and as we get prepared to do our meals, by the way, if you would let our guests and visitors go first, then let the older folks go first after that, and then we'll have the rest of the congregation go. There's plenty of time, plenty of food. Let's have a good time fellowshipping with one another. Amen. As we get ready for our child dedication, let's bow our heads in prayer over today's message. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the message today, talking about the words that we speak to one another and our character, and how through our speech our character is revealed. And God, as we speak and our character is revealed, that you would help strengthen us in that area. God, we pray today that the words, that your word comes alive throughout the week. Possibly as we get upset, as we speak to our spouse, our children, our parents, Lord, that you would have us just catch ourselves beforehand. And if nothing else, Lord, that you would have us catch ourselves after the fact to at least apologize to those we've offended, those we've hurt, and even to you, because we can offend and hurt you as well. God, be with us today as we finish the rest of our service with our child dedication, our prayer for healing, and our prayer for our meal and our fellowship together. We ask these things in your son's name. Amen. Amen. All right. Kaylin and Lainey. All right. We got a bowl of water up here. All right. Well, today we're going to dedicate Lainey Elizabeth Baker. Please don't feel bad for her sister, Kara. She's been dedicated already. Previously, and so today we're going to do that. And baby and child dedications are powerful and public statements made by Kaylin here to raise her child under God's grace and wisdom. Kaylin, today your decision to dedicate your child, Lainey Elizabeth Baker, shows two things. It shows, number one, that you recognize your child as being a gift from God, and you are dedicating yourself to being a godly example to this child as well. This dedication does not secure Lainey's salvation. I want us to be very careful for those of you that think we're doing this thing and oh, Lordy, Lainey thinks she has salvation. No, this doesn't secure her salvation, but it's symbolic of entrusting her life to God's will and not your own will for her. Isaiah 44:24 speaks to God's truths and promises over the life of a child. And this is what the Lord says, "Your Redeemer who formed you in the womb, I am the Lord, the maker of all things, who stretches out the heavens, who spreads out the earth by himself." And then Jeremiah 1:5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you before you were born." And he says, "I set you apart. I set you apart from all others." Kaylin Streeter, today do you commit to raising your daughter, Lainey Elizabeth Baker, in a loving home based on biblical principles and under God's will? If so, answer, I do. Church, this is where you guys have to act. Do you commit to supporting this child, Lainey Elizabeth Baker, in biblical instruction and guidance? If so, answer, we will. All right, very strong there. All right, let me hold you for just a minute, Lainey. I'm glad she likes me. This makes it so much easier in doing these things. You like me, right? Okay, just keep silent. That's best. You don't hate me, right? Okay, we'll just go with that. All right. Lainey Elizabeth Baker, I'm going to put a little water on your head, okay? Just so you know. Just be a little bit. I dedicate you to God's way and God's will in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this young life that you, as your word said, you created this young life. You knew this young life before we knew it. And you have set this young life apart from all others. Lord, we ask you to bless Lainey, bless her in your ways. Bless Kaylin in your ways as well as she raises her and be with Lainey's sister, Kara, as they both grow up. In your word and in your study, we thank you for them being a part of this family, and we ask you to bless them for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, we're going to send you back with Mama. All right, Tim, if you would come forward. Oh, here, Kaylin. I don't get my notes, but there's her certificate. Thank you. All right. We're going to have opportunity here for action as well. Church body, if you would and you feel comfortable and you want to pray over Tim, come forward right now. We're going to lay hands on Tim and pray for Tim. I'm going to ask you to scoot forward so they can get around you and behind you. Tim has asked for prayer. He's got many things going on. We need strength. We need healing. We need comfort. We need wisdom. Sorry. We need knowledge for Tim, for all those in charge of his care. And I'm going to pray, and then I'm just going to have moments of silence. If you guys want to pray out loud at the same time, separately, whatever you want to do, I ask you just to pray. And I ask you to lift your voices up. Don't be afraid someone's going to hear me saying this or that. And we're just going to pray for him. Heavenly Father, I ask you to bless Tim. Lord, I ask for healing in his body right now, that you give doctors, nurses, all those in charge of his care, Lord, that you give them wisdom and knowledge to deal with what's going on in his body. Lord, where there's discomfort just in knowing what the future holds, I ask for you just to release them from that. Your word says, don't worry about tomorrow. You see, I've got this. No need to worry about it. Lord, I ask you to give Tim and Pam and the family peace and joy and comfort during this time. Lord, that you've put this worry in the hands of the doctor. You really put this worry in your hands. You've taken it. Lord, I want you to help Tim and Pam release their worry. Lord, for the healing in his body right now, we ask for the issues causing his breathing difficulties, Lord, that you would just release his body from that. You would free him from that. Lord, that when he goes to the doctor, they would be able to find out what the cause is and be able to treat that and resolve that and remedy that. Lord, we lift up the prayers of the people to you right now. Lord, we know you are the ultimate physician. You are the giver of wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Lord, right now we just pray for Tim's healing, his health. Ease his mind, Lord. Fill that home from floor to ceiling, wall to wall, with your peace and your comfort. And your healing. For you have the power to heal all. Lord, we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.